Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Tanis daf Vav. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. We are at the top of the Amor. We're at the two dots, Tanur Rabbanan. Topic of discussion since the beginning of the Masechta has been rain, and will continue to be rain. We have discussed rain in terms of the halachic requirement of requesting, mentioning and requesting, Haskara and She'ela. Haskara was the first mission on the Masechta. She'ela we just discussed the other day. We mention Akash Baruch Hu's Gevurah, his strength and his ability to give rain. We do that in the second bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, Mashiv Ruach HaMargashem. And She'ela, the formal request for rain, we do in the ninth bracha of Shemoneh Esrei. And a good part of this Masechta has been and will continue to be over the course of today, when's the appropriate time to do this? When do we ask for rain? So the answer, to put it simply, is the rainy season. Okay, that's putting it simply. Now we're going to discuss it in more detail. When exactly is the rainy season? So we already have a basic idea, now that we've done four blot of the Masechta, five blot of the Masechta. So we have some idea in terms of when the rainy season is, but today's daf is really going to concretize when exactly the rainy season is. The Pasuk in Kriyat Shema that we say every day, twice a day, tells us that we're looking forward to every day two types of rain. If you were you davened already this morning, so you said that Yoreh u'Malkosh. We're looking forward to every day, not every day, but every day we say it, but we're looking forward to Yoreh and Malkosh. Yoreh and Malkosh are two different types of rains we're going to discuss in detail today, what exactly they are, meaning what exactly these terms actually mean, and how they reference to the rains. We also know, again, going back to Kriyat Shema, going back to the second paragraph of Kriyat Shema, we also know that if we don't do the mitzvahs and we don't comply, so v'atzar s'shamayim v'lo yematar. So we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to stop the rains, and it'll obviously serve as a klala. So these are the basic topics we're going to be covering over the course of today. We begin. We're on the top of the Amud and Vav Amud Aleph. We're starting at the two dots, Tanur Rabbanan. Yoreh. So first we're going to start with Yoreh. So to put it simply, before we get involved in the Gemara, Yoreh is the early rain, and Malkush is the late rain. Okay, that's putting it simply. And now the Gemara is going to discuss. So we're going to, the first thing we're going to do today is we're going to go give over three different pshatim in terms of what the word Yoreh actually means in terms in reference to rain. So Tana Rabbanan Yoreh Shamara es abrios lahatich gagoseim lahachnias es perusim lasos kotzarcheim. Pshat number one says the Gemara Yoreh from the word moreh, which means to instruct. This rain is instructive. What is it instructive about? So it tells everybody it's time to put new pitch on the roof, meaning it's about to rain. We've gone through the whole summer. There have been holes in the roof, and that's fine because it hasn't rained over the summer. But now comes the winter, and now the rain is about to come. Yoreh, that first rain is telling us it's time, meaning we push it off, but now we can't push it off any longer. We've got to put a new layer of pitch on top of the roof. And we also have to bring all the fruit in. In the course of the summer, the fruit's been sitting outside. I don't know about the fruit per se, but the grains and the they've been sitting outside to dry, right? The katsira, the time of harvest itself. So that's in the springtime. That's in the summertime. But now that we harvested, let's say 5 months ago in the springtime, and now we're entering into the fall, into the autumn. So we want to bring everything in, because if we don't bring everything in, it's just the rain's going to rain on top of it and ruin it. And so therefore, at this point in time, we're going to bring everything in. Okay, that's pshat number one. That is Yoreh, it's instructive. Davar acher, shemarveh es haaretz u'mashkeh atahom. Second pshat, Yoreh from the word rava. Rava means to saturate, to hydrate. Marveh es haaretz, it saturates the land, u'mashkeh atahom. And it goes all the way to the depths. So in other words, this first rain is the one that actually saturates the ground. Because, it hasn't been raining now for the entire summer. So that's 6 months of no rain. The land is very dry. And so this rain, this first rain of the season, is there to make the earth soft. Shenamar, the Gemara quotes, Apostle Talameha, Rava Nachas, Gidu Deha Bervivim, Temogi Genat, Simcha Tevarech. Okay, the Apostle speaks to this idea that the rains come down. And Rava, the key word over here is Rava, it saturates the ground. Davar Acher, we're going to give now a third pshat, Yoreh sheyored benachas. And the third pshat of the Gemara is that it comes down, and it comes down gently. This first rain that comes down is not going to be a harsh rain, but rather it's going to come down gently. Okay, the Eino yored bezaaf, and it does not come down with any type of anger, meaning it's a gentle rain that comes down first in the first of the season. Okay, Adkan. So far now what the Gemara has done is just focus on the word Yorah. Yorah is the first rain, what the word actually means. The Gemara offered three pshatim in terms of what the word actually means. But it's all obviously, well, I say obviously, the Gemara is going to challenge this in just a moment, but it all obviously is a bracha, meaning obviously the rain that's coming down the beginning of the rainy season, and we're going to put ourselves somewhere in the month of Cheshvan. Okay, and we're going to, later today, we're going to pinpoint exactly when in Cheshvan, but this rain obviously serves as a bracha. The Gemara says, how do I know? O ein o yoreh ela shemeshir saperos, o mashif es esrayim, o mashif es ailanos. Perhaps the yoreh that's mentioned in the pasuk is there to cut the fruit off the tree, meaning it's such a torrential downpour that's going to cut the fruit and drown the seeds and drown the trees. Tamalama malkosh. So the Gemara says, no, I wouldn't think that. Why wouldn't I think that? Because in the same pasuk that I have the word Yoreh, I also have the word Malkosh. And we know Malkosh is the late rain. Ma Malkosh lebracha, af Yoreh lebracha. Well, Malkosh serves as a bracha, so Yoreh also serves as a bracha as well. In other words, this is what we call Hekesh. This is the two words in the same pasuk together. And it can't be that we wouldn't even have a meaning to say that Yoreh is bad, because Malkosh is right there in that pasuk, and Malkosh obviously is good. Why does the Gemara at this point assume, or why does the Gemara question whether Yoreh is bad or good? And why does the Gemara at this point assume that Malkosh has to be good? So you take a look at Rashi. So Rashi over here explains, at least at this stage of the Gemara, what's the Gemara thinking? Rashi says, Ma Malkosh lebracha, Divra maskal Ma Malkosh lebracha. It's about halfway down in Rashi, a little bit less than that. But Rashi writes, She e of shar ledorsho leshaber granos lahashir peros sheinim mitsuyim bo so aperek. Look, Malkosh is coming at the end of the season. At the end of the season, there are no seeds. No seeds in the ground. Meaning at the end of the season, all you have is actual growth. And the only way that we could really say Malkosh is good. Because at this point in time, seeds already took root. Growth is already growing. The late rains that are coming are only beneficial. Shir Rashi continues, Shir Yorei kol hamalilos v'alakashim o'mamale setfuah b'kasheha. The only thing the Malkosh is going to do is going to help continue the growth on the ground. So Malkosh only comes as a bracha. So again, now if Malkosh is coming as a bracha, so is Yoreh. Yoreh has to be levracha, as mentioned in the pasuk. Oeno, now back to the Gemara. The Gemara now is going to challenge this assumption. Oeno Malkosh aloshamap el sabatim meshabes ilanos amalas esakayim. Well, maybe you're right. Maybe you're wrong. Maybe Malkosh is not there as a bracha, but Malkosh will be a klala. Now, vis-a-vis the seeds, there are no seeds in the land, as Rashi just pointed out, but their houses, their trees, and their saka'in. Rashi will explain what that means. I'll explain in just a moment. But basically, maybe the rain that comes, the late rains that comes, is such a harsh rain, it's going to demolish our houses, it's going to break the trees, it's going to be malas saka'in. If you want to look at Rashi, first wide line, on the Amud, what does that mean? Min arbe. Rashi says it's a type of grasshopper. Right, the word salatzal, which is mentioned in the Tochacha, if you look at Targum over there, so the Targum translates the word salatzal as sika'a, and it's a type of grasshopper. And maybe what the heavy rains will do is they'll basically bring out the grasshoppers. So that's what I would have thought. Again, so Malkosh may not be lebracha, but maybe it itself serves as a klala. So tamalama yoreh, my yoreh lebracha, of Malkosh lebracha. So now the Gemara goes the other direction. Well, no, because in the same pasuk of Malkosh, you also have yoreh. And we know yoreh is a bracha, so therefore Malkosh is a bracha as well. So here we are in a classic circular argument of the Gemara. Meaning the Gemara says, how do I know the yoreh is good? Because it's next to Malkosh, and Malkosh is good. Well, how do I know Malkosh is good? Because it's next to yoreh, and yoreh is good. So this is a classic circular argument, and obviously the Gemara recognizes that, right? We can't use each other's word to define whether it's good or it's bad if there's no outside source. So the Gemara then finishes up. The Gemara says, "So my yor lebracha of Malkosh lebracha, yor gufei minalan." Okay. So how do I know? Another source. Give me another source in Tanakh that we know that yor is good. So dechsiv of neitzion gilu v'simcha b'asham alkechem kinas alachem es hamora litzdaka. V'yored lachem geshem morel makush barishon. A pasuk that, oddly enough, we're familiar with, meaning we've seen this pasuk before. This pasuk is from Sefer Yoel, part of Treyasar, and it describes how after the end of the famine and of the locusts, so then there was rain that came down, and good rain that came down. And how does the Navi describe that rain? It describes it as more litztaka. More here, meaning that first rains that come down, litztaka, it serves its tzedaka. And remember, we discussed this back in the beginning of the Masechta. It happens to have been that particular year, the first rains came down, not in Cheshvan when it normally comes down, but all the way in the month of Nisan. It was really late. But anyway, but the point is that Mora is Latova. We see that from the Pasuk in Yoel. And now we go back to Kriyashma, the second paragraph of Kriyashma, and we know that the Yore is Latova, and the Yore is Latova, so therefore the Makish also is Latova. Two quick points. Number one, the Gemara says that Malkush Malkush, the Gemara entertained for a moment that Malkush may be bad because one of the things that it'll do is that it'll bring the late rains will bring out the grasshoppers. If you take a look at that Rashi, that wide line Rashi, so Rashi says that the word Malkush may in fact mean grasshopper. Look at the continuation of Rashi where he quotes a pasuk in Amos, and Rashi there writes, Vihine Lekesh Achar Gizeh HaMelech. Lekesh. So it's interesting. Some things I like. If you say the word lekesh and take the shit and turn it into a sin, so really you actually hear the word locust coming from the word lekesh, right? Malkush locust. It may in fact be related terms. Okay, that's number one. Number two is just a general issue with this Gemara, which Rashi doesn't bring up over here, but it's certainly that's not true. It's not totally accurate. Rashi does bring it up, but Rashi doesn't really address, and that is in the context of Shema, meaning the Gemara had a Havamina, ended up rejecting it, but the Gemara had a Havamina that the Yoron Malkush mentioned, these Psukim, is a Klala. It's a curse. And it's a little bit difficult to understand because in the context of the Shema, clearly that's not the point of the Psukim. Meaning, the Psukim are pretty clear that if you do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks you to do, I will give you Yoron Malkush. Right? It sounds like the simple Pshat in the Psukim is that the rains described in Kriyashma, it sounds like it's a reward, not a punishment. Right, exactly. And so it is a little bit difficult to understand. I'm just challenging the Havamina, I'm questioning the Havamina. How could the Gemara have a Havamina that the Yor and the Malkush over here is Lara, it's a Klala, when clearly in the context of the Psukim, that's not so. Rashi does acknowledge this, but Rashi doesn't explain how we can even have a Havamina that Yor and Malkush are, in this context, something which is bad. Okay, but that's a general point regarding this Gemara. Back to the Gemara inside, now we're at the two dots. We are Tana Rabbanan, Yoreh b'Marchesh on a Malkush b'Nisan. Okay, so now, after explaining the terminology, so what we had is we gave a formal definition of the word Yoreh, meaning what does the word mean? The Gemara gave three pshatim. In a little bit, the Gemara is going to go do the same thing with Malkush. The Gemara hasn't done it yet. We're going to do the same thing with Malkush as well. And in fact, we're going to give three explanations of what the word Malkush means. But in the meantime, however, we're going to try to now figure out when the Yore is expected to come down. Tana Rabbanan Yore b'Marchesh on a Malkush b'Nisan. So the Gemara is going to quote us a number of brises. Brisa number one. Yore comes in Cheshvan. Cheshvan, the Gemara always refers to as Mar Cheshvan, meaning that seems to be the more proper term for the month. And what happened to the Mar? How come we lost it? I don't know. But the Yor ben Mar Cheshvan, Malkush ben Nisan. And Malkush comes in Nisan. So, okay. So, well, basically what we've been saying all along, but here the Gemara, the Braisa formalizes, Atomar Yor ben Mar Cheshvan, Malkush ben Nisan, Oin Ela Yor ben Tishrei, Malkush ben Iyar. The Gemara says, maybe not. Maybe Yoreh comes as early as Tishrei, meaning basically a month earlier, and Malkush comes a month later, meaning not Nisan, but moving out a month later. So basically what the Gemara wants to suggest is that maybe Yor and Malkush is not a six-month period, but rather a eight-month period. So the Gemara says, or 7 months, but either way, so Tamalomer Bi'ito. So the Gemara says, no, it won't entertain that because the Pasuk says Bi'ito. Bi'ito means in its right time. So how does the word Bi'ito tell us that it has to be from Marcheshvan to Nisan? So if you take a look at Rashi, so Rashi explains Tamalom Rabbi Ito, Rashi, second wide line on the Amud, Yoreh b'Marcheshvan, Malkush b'Nisan, Shekach hi Ha'es ve'hazman ve'yafehu. Because that's the time when it's most beneficial. So you'll ask the farmers in Eretz Yisrael, when do you want the rain? And so they'll tell you, Rashi says, that the best time that they want the rain is specifically from Mar Cheshvan to Nisan. Kidal Kamad is Man Revi Rishon of Mar Cheshvan Hu. Okay, so Rashi says that's how we learn Be'ito. Be'ito means when it's most beneficial. And that's from Mar Cheshvan to Nisan, and that's how we know that the Yoreh is Mar Cheshvan and Malkush is in Nisan. Continuing in the Gemara, Tamalom Rebito, Malkush. Okay, here we go. The Gemara is now going to do the same thing with the word Malkush. Amar Avni Yilai Bar Idi Amar Shmol Davar She Mal Kashyosem Shal Yisrawa. Pshat number one says the Gemara. The word Malkush comes from the word Mal and Kash. And in the first pshat of the Gemara, it means like this. What does the word Mal mean? We all know. Maybe we don't see it right yet. But the word Mal comes from the word Mila. Mila means to cut. Mal over here means it cuts down the kasho sem shel Yisrael, the arrogance of the Jewish people, the hard-headedness of the Jewish people. Rashi explains, what does that mean exactly? It means if the Malkush doesn't come down, meaning if we don't have the late rain, so we're in trouble. The crops are not going to be good, and we're going to be in trouble, and we're going to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and ask for assistance. So that's one pshat of Malkush. It cuts down the hardness of the Jewish people. A second pshat the Gemara offers is that the word Malkush comes from the Mal and Kasheha. It fills up the grain, meaning that the stalks are growing out of the ground, and obviously what we're interested in is the actual grain itself that's growing within the ear of the stalk. On the top of the stalk. So the Malkush is the one that basically provides the fuller grain. So that's the word Malkush from the word Malkasheha. The Masisatan, the Gemara offer here, offers a third pshat from a Braisa Davish, she yored al hamalilos v'alakashim. Something that falls on the malilos. Malilos, remember, we saw that term back in Beitza. Malilos are referring to the ears, the actual grains themselves, and on the kashim and on the stalks. Okay, so, and if you look at the words Malilos and Kashim, and you take the first letters, the Mal and the Kash, you'll get Malkosh. Okay, so three different pshatim in terms of how Malkosh means the late rains, but again, it's the same basic idea. It's a reference to the late rains. Tan Rabbanan. We're back now to another braisa describing when exactly we should expect the Yor and the Malkosh. Now, I know this is a topic that the Gemara just discussed a couple lines ago, but now the Gemara is going to bring down more braises that speak to this issue. Yor ben Mar Cheshvan and Malkush ben Nisan. Yor is in the month of Cheshvan. Malkush is in the month of Nisan. Ata omer Yor ben Mar Cheshvan ein ola bechodesh kislev. Here the Hava Mina is that I might have thought that Yor starts coming in the month of Kislev, the next month after Mar Cheshvan. Tamalam Rabbi Ito. No, it has to be Bito at the right time. Yor Malkush, Malkush Bito. If Yor Bito, Malkush comes at the right time. Yor comes at the right time. Okay, that's another braisa. A third braisa regarding when the rains come. Tanya Idach, Yor b'Macheshu, Malkush b'Nisan, Divrei Rabbi Meir. Okay, finally now we see, and this will help us with all the previous Havaminas, finally now this Braisa tells us, it's subject to a Machlokas Tanayim, when exactly the early rains come, and when exactly the late rains come. Now by the way, this is not, I understand up until this morning, right, for the first half of today's daf, well, it sounds like we're having like an agricultural discussion. As we will see, it will turn into a halachic discussion as well, which we'll get to a little bit later on today. According to Rabbi Meir, so the Yorah is to be expected in the month of Cheshvan, and Malkush is expected in the month of Nisan, like we've been saying all along. V'chachamim omrim, Yorah b'kislev. And the Chachamim say, no, Yorah is in Kislev. Meaning that the Yorah is expected to come in the beginning of the month of Kislev. Man Chachamim, Amar Rav Chisda Rav Yosihi. So we're going to identify the Chachamim is Rav Yosi, Detanya Valentin Abraisa. Ezuri Revia Rishona. Now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to even further define Yorah. Meaning Yorah is the early rains, that we know. Now, in the early rains, we're basically going to look at three successive dates in the beginning of the rain season. And we're going to actually mark these dates on the calendar. Each one of these early rains, there are going to be three early rains, and each one of them is going to be called a revia. Okay, it's a term that, again, I think it's the first time we're introducing the term, but it's a term that we're going to see a lot today. And the revia just simply is set one of the early rains, set two of the early rains, set three of the early rain. Why is it called Revia? So that you don't have to go that far. Today's daf is going to tell us exactly why these rains are referred to as Revia. Stay tuned. That's coming up later on in today's daf. The Revia Rishona HaBechira B'Shlosha B'Mar Cheshvan. The first Revia, the first rain of the early rains, is on the third day of Cheshvan. Beinonis B'Sheva, second of the early rains, is on the seventh day of Cheshvan. And B'Sheva Bo. And Afela, and the late early rains, is going to be B'Sheva Asar Bo, is going to be on the 17th day of Mar Cheshvan. Okay, Divrei Rabbi Meir, these are the words of Rabbi Meir. So according to Rabbi Meir, your Yorah is going to be subdivided into three sets in the month of Mar Cheshvan, and your numbers are 3, 7, 17. The 3rd, 7th, and 17th day of Mar Cheshvan. Rabbi Yehuda, Amar B'Sheva, Yizayin, V'Esra, V'Shlosha. Then there are Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, when are these Yorahs coming down? On the 7th, 17th, and 23rd. So, still in the month of Mar Cheshvan, according to Rabbi Yehuda, but shifted a little bit later into the season, where the first one is the 7th, second, the middle is the 17th, and the 3rd is going to be the 23rd. Okay, so those are the numbers for Rabbi Yehuda. And finally, Rabbi Yossi Omer, B'Yud Zayin, Uve Esrim V'Shlosha, Uve Rosh Chodesh Kislev. So now Rabbi Yossi has it as 17 of Mar Cheshvan, 23rd of Mar Cheshvan, and then the first day of Kislev. So you see that only according to Rav Yossi do you have the Yoreh, at least the last Yoreh, into the month of Kislev. The other two Tanaim, both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, only have Yoreh in the month of Mar Cheshvan. They disagree when, but they have in the month of Mar Cheshvan. It is only Rav Yossi who says that it goes into the month of Kislev. So therefore, that last Brisa that we saw, the most recent Brisa that says that the Yoreh is in Kislev, that is going, that's a Liba de Rebbe Yossi. V'chena ya Rebbe Yossi Omer, Eina Yechidim Etanim, Ashegir Rosh Chodesh Kislev. And Rebbe Yossi says, and when do we start fasting? Only on the first day of Kislev. Meaning, this is really one of the major themes of our Masechta, which is that we are supposed to fast on calamities. The notable calamity that we're spending most of the Masechta learning is an absence of rain. Meaning, when a Kadosh Baruch Hu is upset, the atzar es hashamayim, the heavens will stop. At what point do we recognize that we have a problem? It's not raining. So according to Rav Yossi, the recognition comes on the first day of Kislev. Meaning now we skip the first rain, we skip the second rain, and now today there should be rain. And today, and not only there should be rain today, this should have been the third rain. So according to Rav Yossi, the fasting does not begin until the first day of Kislev. Okay, that's and by the way, this is now where the discussion becomes halachic, because basically what we're arguing about over here is at what point do we sound the fire alarm? When do we start realizing this is not good? It should be raining at this point in time. It isn't raining, and now we're going to fast. Now, in terms of the fasting itself, that's the discussion we're going to have later in the Masechta. That's not today's topic, in terms of how exactly the fasts are coordinated. But in the meantime, however, we're just simply at this point in time recognizing when we have a problem. So we have a machlokas between Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yossi. Perfect, it's raining. So we have a machlokas between these three. And according to Rabbi Yossi, it's really the first day of Kislev where we now have skipped two rains where we realize there's a problem. Who does the halacha follow like? Amar Rav Chista halacha Rabbi Yossi. So Rav Chista says the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. Okay, if we were to stop at this point in time, I would have said quite clearly, okay, that's the halacha. Halacha falls like Rabbi Yossi. It won't be that simple, but we'll talk about, I'll get to a bottom line later this morning. Amemer masni lahadra Rav Chista b'halishna. Amemer taught Rav Chista in a slightly different language. B'shlosh b'mar cheshvan shalom z'gishamim. On the third day of Mar Cheshvan, we start the formal petition for rain. Rabbi Gamliel Omer b'Sheva Bo. Rabbi Gamliel says no. We start on the seventh day of Mar Cheshvan. I'm Rav Chista. Halacha Rabbi Gamliel. So now Rav Chista says, who does halacha fall like? The halacha falls like Rabbi Gamliel. Okay, so now we can be a little bit confused, because according to Rabbi Gamliel, when do we start petitioning for rain? So obviously, when it should be first expected. When it should be first expected is going to be the seventh day of Mar Cheshvan. So that doesn't sound like Rav Yossi. Meaning, can we put Rabbi Gamliel and Rav Yossi in the same sentence together? it'll be a little bit challenging to do so, because if we're starting to ask for rain on the seventh day of Mar Cheshvan, Rav Yossi is not expecting the Revi'a Rishona, the first set of the Yara, to come until much later, not much later, but the 17th day of Mar Cheshvan. So it is going to be a little bit of a challenge, where according to Rav Chista, he on one hand paskins like Rabbi Yossi, that the expected time of the Yara is going to be 17th, 23rd, and first day of Kislev, and meanwhile he also paskins like Rabbi Gamliel, who says that our formal petition for the rain should begin on the 7th day of Mar Cheshvan. That is a little bit challenging. Well, no. In terms of the petitioning, we should go for the first rain. In terms of the fasting, so the last rain is going to be when we start sounding the fire alarm. So Kiman Azahad Tanya. Okay. Admittedly, that is challenging. By the way, you look at the Rambam. The Rambam says of the dates, who does the Rambam align himself with? The Rambam aligns himself with Rav Yossi. So the Rambam takes that first statement of Rav Chista as the halacha psuka, and the Rambam says that the dates in terms of when the rains are expected are 17th, 23rd, and the first day of Kislev. But not everyone is in agreement with the Rambam, but that's the sheet of the Rambam. So, Kemana Zahad Tanya, where are four lines from the bottom of the Amud, and Vav Amud Aleph. The following Brisa, Rabbi Shimon Gamla Omer, Gesham Shiyardu, Shiva Yamim Ze Acher Ze Atamona Behem, Revi'a Rishona, Ushnia, Ushlishis. This Brisa says, doesn't give us a lot of information, but it says that the interval between each one of the rains, the Revi'as, is going to be an interval of 7 days. So, all you have to do now is just think to yourself, what were the three shitas? Let's quickly review. Rav Meir says that your three shitas are, I'm sorry, Rav Meir says that the expectation of the rain comes down on 3/7/17. Rav Yehuda says it is, I'm sorry, 7/17/23. And Rabbi Yossi says 17/23 and the first day of Kislev. So now, as Rashi does this, but it's pretty, as long as you have all that straightened out, so now think about it. Who of these opinions have intervals of 7 days between each one of the Revi'as? It's only the last Shita of Rabbi Yossi. It's not the former. It's not Rabbi Meir. It's not Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Think about it. Because according to Rabbi Meir, you have an interval of 10 days from 7 to 17. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you have an interval of 10 days from the 7th to the 17th. So therefore, the only one that this aligns to is going to be Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi has intervals of 7 days. From the 17th to the 23rd, and from the 23rd to the first day of Kislev, those are intervals of 7 days. Okay. Amar Rav Chista, sorry. Vishishis Kaman Rav Yossi, Amar Rav Chista, Halacha Rav Yossi. And the Gemara says, and that's the Halacha. Halacha is like Rav Yossi. Again, we have the statement of Rav Chista, says the Halacha is like Rav Yossi. Okay. So far, so good. So now what we have done so far today is we've identified the Yora, the early rains, and we've further subdivided the Yora into three rains. With the expectation of these rains, when are they going to come down? Subject to a machlokas tanaim, machlokas between Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Huda, and Rabbi Yossi, and the Gemara of Chista, at least, paskins clearly like Rabbi Yossi. So therefore, the first rains are to be expected on the 17th, second on the 23rd, and the third rain is going to be the first day of Kislev. Adkan. Now, Bishlama Rivia Rishon Lishol Shlishis Lisanos. The Gemara says, look, I understand the significance of highlighting when we should be looking for the first Revi'a. Why? She'ela. Because that's when we should start making a formal petition to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the 17th day of Mar Cheshvan. Okay, let's now insert into our Shemona Esrei, Mashiv Aruch, I'm sorry, that's a Askara. Sorry, V'sein Talamat Levracha. Good. And I understand that. And I understand also the necessity of identifying the third Revi'a. Because at that point in time now, we know it's time to sound the fire alarm. Meaning it has not been raining. We have skipped now two Revi'as. We're up to the third Revi'a. It's not coming down. Time to start making petitions to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in terms of fasting. So I understand the significance of Revi'a Rishona, when we should start asking. The third Revia, when we start sounding the fire alarm. But the middle one, meaning, why do we need to mark that with a date? Well, who cares? Lamai nafkamina. That's the Gemara's question. Shnei lamai. So to this question, the Gemara is going to give four different answers in terms of why it's important for us to know when that middle date is. Amrav Zera, so answer number one of the Gemara is l'nedarim. It's important to know in the world of nedarim. You make a neder, did not, and your neder goes something like this. We're on the top of Av Amud Beis. Hanoder ad hageshamim. I'm not going to get benefit from this. Okay, whatever. He doesn't. Let's say he makes a neder. He's not going to drink wine. I won't drink wine until the rains come down. Hanoder ad hageshamim. So mishiyar dugshamim. Or he says mishiyar dugshamim. So ad shetevri revia shnia. So vis-a-vis his neder will be lifted at the middle revia, not the first, not the third, but the middle. So why should that be? Meaning, he wasn't specific in his neder. So why do we assume that the neder is going up until the middle? So take a look at Rashi, second Rashi on the Amud. B'nedarin hochanach haloshem bnei adam ve'in korin gesham l'rishona ashiterit shnia shemikam ve'elach mekul kalosa derachim umuasos mimnei gishamim. So Rashi offers an explanation. Look, when it comes to neder, klal gadol. We have one basic rule when it comes to neder, and that is that the interpretation of neder follows lashon bnei adam. It's how we normally understand language. It is the street language. It says as it's normally understood. So when I say I'm making a neder, I won't drink wine until the rains. Generally speaking, people understand that to mean the second rain. Why? Why do people understand the second rain? So Rashi says, because look, the first rain comes down, like we don't really feel the effects of the first rain, right? The roads are still good. We can still walk on the road. You don't really feel it as it's, the rain season hasn't really started. It officially started, it formally started, but it hasn't really started. It doesn't really start until the second rain. So that's one pshat in Rashi. Rashi offers another pshat. Lishna achrina ad hageshamim mashmi trei dahin revia shnia. Also, maybe Rashi says it's look at the right. Look at the words of the neder. Hanoder ad hageshamim, plural. So in other words, they need a minimum of two. So I need the revia rishon. I need the revia shnia. And only at the revia shnia is now the neder lifted because he said rains in the plural. Okay. That is nafkamina number one. So again, the question of the day, one of the questions of our day is, why do I need a date on the calendar for the middle revia? First to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for rain, last to sign off the fire alarms if it hasn't rained at that point in time. But why the middle? So far we have finished off pshat number one, neder. Pshat number two, or nafkamina number two, Rav Zvid Amar L'Zeisim. So the Gemara says another nafkamina would be olives. Ditnan. When can I go after the lakit shechach and peah? What does that mean? So first of all, just a little bit of background. We know that you own a field in Eretz Yisrael, so you have to give to the poor. And the matanus la'aniyim, the gifts that you give to the poor, come in many different forms. Leket, if I have, as I cut the wheat, let's say some of the stalks fall to the ground, one or two stalks fall to the ground, that's to the poor. Shechacha, as I'm bringing in the bundles into my house, and I forget one of the bundles on the field. I forgot it? Okay, good. Leave it for the poor. Peah, a corner of the field is going to be earmarked for the poor. And then, as long as we're just describing, but let's just go over two more, peret and ololos. So when harvesting the vineyard, if I have some of the grapes fall to the ground, so by grapes, that is not called leket, it's called peret. Okay, different term, but basically the same idea. Some of the grapes fell to the ground, left for the poor. And ololos, if I have grapes that don't fully form on the vine, I'm not going to take them for myself, leave them for the poor. So these are all matanos aniyim, these are all the portions of the field that are for the poor, and they are for the poor, meaning you yourself cannot take them. They're designated for the poor. However, comes a point in time in the season where you, the owner of the field, or for that matter, anybody, can go into the field and take them, even if you're not an ani. And the Mishnah here tells us, at what point exactly can you do that? Can you go out into the field and you could take the leket shicha and peah, the parrot, the olos, at what point in time can you go and take them? That's the topic of this Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Me'emas ha'kol adam utarim b'leket b'shicha b'peah, mishiyecho ha'nemushos. So, mishiyecho ha'nemushos, basically, when the scavengers stop scavenging. Okay, the word nemusho, says Rashi, is a reference to people who are basically scavengers, right? They're feeling their way through the field to find if there's any lekish shechor peya. So beperet uva ololos mishiyelchu aniyim bekerem v'yavo. When it comes to peret and olos, so when there's no longer any poor people in the vineyard, and bezeisim, and when it comes to the olive trees, mishiteired revier shnia. So it's when the second rain comes down. When that second rain comes down of the Yora, of the early season, it's at that point in time now where you can help yourself to whatever lekach shechen peah there is of the olives. Okay, my nemushos am Rav Nachman Saba Dazle Atigra Reish Lakish Amar Lekute Basal Lekute. The Gemara over here just tangentially says the word nemushos. Can we be more specific and give somewhat of a clear definition of what that means, scavengers? So Rav Yochanan says Saba Dazle Atigra. Rav Yochanan says the old man on the cane, meaning he's not obviously going to be one of the fastest scavengers in the field. He'll probably be the last scavenger in the field, the old man with the cane, or Reish Lakish Amar Lekute basa lekute, or as Rashi, the way Rashi describes it, it's basically a father son, a son tandem. They're going out in the field. The son is following the father to make sure that the father didn't leave anything. Okay, but either way, just a somewhat of a better definition of what the word nemushos actually means. Okay, but anyway, but according to Nafka Mina number two, basically, why do I need to know about the second rain? Because it's at the point of the second rain where the lekashich and peah belong to the aniyim, are property of the aniyim, and it's only after the second rain comes down where you can assume no more poor people coming out into the field. I'm imagining because by the second rain already, the field is wet, it's saturated, like no one's going to go through the trouble at that point in time to go, not even the poor are going to go out into the field, and so therefore it basically becomes hefker l'kol. Anyone who wants to now can come in to take it.
Not that I know of.
Okay. That is another nafkamina. Why do I need to know about the second date? A third nafkamina. Rav Papa says, I tell you why you need to know about the second rains in terms of using people's properties as a shortcut. I know this is a really touchy issue, using people's properties as a shortcut, but in Eretz Yisrael, you're allowed to. Okay, and who sanctioned this? Who allowed this? The answer is Yehoshua. Yehoshua comes into Eretz Yisrael and says, okay, people, we're gonna be landowners. Okay, and obviously as landowners, so everyone has a right to their property. Good. At the same time, we all got to get along. So Yehoshua comes into Eretz Yisrael and says, so part of the social structure in which, on one hand, you're going to be landowners, on the other hand, we're all going to get along, is that everyone has a right to cut through other people's properties in order to get from point A to point B. Okay, I'm giving a general overview, but this is the Gemara in Baba Kama, which Rashi here references. So so you don't have year-round use of somebody else's property, but you have seasonal use of other people's property in order to cut through. Why? Why is it seasonal? Why is it not year-round? The answer is really simple. Because as you're planting your grains and your fruit on your property, you don't want other people walking through and ruining your growth. So basically, it goes like this. In the winter, no trespassing. In the summer, go ahead, please. Cut through my property. I'd love it. So, and when exactly is the point where no one can longer cut through your property? Revia Shnia. The Revia Shnia is now where, if there at that point in time, the second rains, second early rain, you can't cut through my property. Damar Mar, the Gemara here quotes, Mahalchen Kol Adam B'Shvil Rishus Ashtei Revia Shnia. It's at the point of Revia Shnia, the second wave of the early rains, where you no longer can cut through my property. At that point in time, the seeds are starting to develop. They just got their second rain. They're tender. You walk on my property, you're going to ruin it. Now, at that point in time, no trespassing. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Levar Per Shvius. Okay, our fourth nafkamina in terms of why it is important to know about this Revia Shnia, and that is for the, I'll say destruction, although I don't fully mean that, the destruction of Perei Shviyas. This is a topic we've covered a lot recently, and that is in the Shemitah year. So any fruit that grows on the fields in the Shemitah year are permitted, but they have Kedusha, they have sanctity. This is what's called Kedusha's Perei Shviyas. And with that sanctity, what does that mean? I can eat the fruit, I can't do commerce with the fruit. Okay? That presents a problem with the esrogim, all the esrogim that during that grow during the Shemitah year. So how can your local esrog dealers make a profit out of that? Okay, so that's it's an issue. We discussed it back in Sukkah. But anyway, so Perei Shviyas have Kedusha. And not only do they have Kedusha, but at a certain point in time, they need to be mivuar. Again, the simple translation is they need to be destroyed. And at what point is that going to be exactly? When they're no longer out in the field. Did not the Gemara here quotes the Mishnah? The grains of the field, at what point exactly can I benefit from them? I should tell Revi'ishniyah until the Revi'ishniyah. My time is dichsiv. And the reason is, as long as it's out in the field, you can benefit. Once it's no longer out in the field, you no longer can benefit from it. So at that point in time, it has to experience biur. Now, what exactly biur is, so we've discussed this already a number of times, but it's always good to review. It's a machlokas. Machlokas amongst the Rishonim, what exactly biur is. Rambam's of the opinion that biur is destruction. You actually have to take the Perei Shviyas at the Zman biur, and you actually need to destroy it. The Ramban and many other Rishonim say no, that's not what biur means. Biur means hefker, that you just have to leave it ownerless. Okay, and there's a middle position. But in the meantime, however, for our purposes, good. So that is the Zman biur, and for straw, that's going to be at the Revi'ah Shniyah. Okay, so for today. We spoke about Yoreh, spoke about Malkush, the early rains, the late rains. And speaking about Yoreh, we talked about the three waves of Yoreh, three waves of the early rains. In terms of when calendarically that is, it's a Machlokas Tanayim between Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi. We saw today that Rav Chista Paskin like Rabbi Yossi. So according to Rabbi Yossi, the three dates are going to be 17 of Mar Cheshvan, 23rd of Mar Cheshvan, and the first day of Kislev. By the first day of Kislev, if it has not started raining yet, We start sounding the fire alarms and the fasting begins, which is we'll discuss later in the Masechta, according to Rav Yossi. Why do we need to know about the Revi'ah Rishona to know when to start asking for rain? Why do we need to know about the Revi'ah Shlishis to start the fire alarm? Why do we need to know the date of the middle Revi'ah? So the Gemara gave four nafkaminas. Quickly to review, Neder in terms of Nedarim. Zaysim in terms of the olives, when can I go out to the field and take what was once Lakashikha and Peya? Number three, shortcuts, using the properties of shortcut. By the Revi'ah Shniyah, I can no longer use it as a shortcut. And I missed one. Sorry. Beer. And we just did it. Sorry. And beer Peir Shvias. Okay. The leap year is not going to affect these dates. Not the Yoreh dates, not the early rain dates. The leap year is only going to be in Adar. That's going to be at the end of the season. Okay, so Malkush, it'll affect the Malkush, but it is interesting, meaning that these dates that we're talking about is based on the lunar year, and it does fluctuate over the... It doesn't end up on the same, it doesn't end up on the same same date vis-a-vis the solar year and the equinox and the... Okay, and the solstice, you're right. It does move around, it does shift around a little bit in terms of that. That is a fair point. But the Gemara is assuming that all this operates based on the lunar months and the lunar calendar.
I think this probably was when the months were fixed, the 7-7 because of the Rosh Chodesh.
Maybe, unclear. Unclear. It could be.
That's why we have the fixed calendar and the
right. That, well, that
to keep us in touch with the solar calendar.
Right, but even if it wasn't a fixed calendar, they still were. I mean, when Basin did it, they also coordinated with the solar. So okay, all right. Let's go on. We are now in the Gemara. First wide line. Amar Rabbi Abba. Okay, we're on Vav Amud Beis. First wide line. Amar Rabbi Abba. My Lashon Revi'ah. Okay, so let's explain. The language of Revi'ah, which is the way we describe the Yorah. Yorah comes down in three waves, so why is it referred to as Revi'ah? So, Davish Sheroveah es Harkarka. So the Gemara says Roveah, the word Roveah, Roveah Nirva, terms that we've seen in Kachem a lot, but basically that is a way of describing relations, generally speaking, with animals, right? Roveah Nirva. But basically it is the male partner in the act of Bia. Okay, Rav Yehuda, I'm Rav Yehuda, Mitra Bala Da'ara. All right, so Rav Yehuda actually says it quite graphically. He says that the rain is basically the husband of the ground, meaning that the way we're going to view the rain is basically the male component. Shenamar, the pasuk says, ki kasher yered hageshem, ki kasher yered hageshem v'ashalag min hashamayim v'shama lo yashuv, ki im herva sa'aretz v'holi da v'hitzmicha. Yeah, we're familiar with this pasuk. We say it as a haftarah, as a fast day. But basically, what we want to focus in on is the word v'holi da. What does that rain do? It's basically viewed as a male component of the of this relationship between rain and ground. And now Rabbi Abba is going to give us actual definitions of each of these rains. Meaning, like let's say, right, according to Rav Yossi, 17th day of Mar Cheshvan, a couple drops fall down. Oh good, that's Revi'ah Rishona. No. In other words, you need a certain amount of rain. And so now what we're going to be doing is giving details in terms of how much rain does it have to be in order to qualify as the Revi'ah Rishona. And again, why do we need these definitions? Because again, if Revi'ah Rishona didn't come down, the Revi'ah Shnia didn't come down, so now by the third Revi'ah, sound the fire alarms, meaning we're in trouble. So Amar Rabbi Abba Rishona Kadesh Teri Bekarka Tefach. So it's going to basically saturate the land one Tefach deep. Shnia Kadeh Lagov Baal Pichavis. Second rain, the ground is going to get so muddy, I could basically, with as Rashi explains, without adding water, basically take the mud and make a lid of a jar. I'm Rav Chisda Gshamish Yardu Kadeh Lagov Bahem Pichavis. Rav Chisda says something very similar, enough where basically the ground is so muddy, I could use it to seal, I could take the mud and use it to seal my jars.
Limited to a special locale, meaning that if it rains one city
and
another city.
Well, the Gemara is going to discuss that. Okay, very good. So, I'm sorry. So, and if you have this much rain, so then good. So, we're not now in the category of Vatsar Sashamayim. The Amar Rav Chisda Gishamash Yardu Kodim Vatsar, Ein Bahem Mishum Vatsar. Rav Chisda says, you know when I want the rains to come down? Before we say the word Vatsar. Okay, meaning before Shema. We say Shema twice, once in the morning, once in the evening. So as long as it rains before I say the word Vatsar, meaning Kriya Shema, so that's good. But obviously there are two opportunities to say Vatsar. Amar Abaye lo amar nala kodem Vatsar de orta. Ava kodem de Vatsar de tzafer yesh ben mishum Vatsar. So, the Gemara tells us, Abaye tells us, that we're talking about before the night Shema. Meaning rain before the night, that's good rain. Rain of the early morning, no good. Meaning not helpful. The Amar of Yehuda bar Yitzchak, Hani Anani de Tzafra, clouds in the morning, Leis Bei Meshasha, insignificant. A little sprinkle in the morning, Gemara says that's not significant. Dechsiv Ma Eselecha, Fray Ma Eselecha Yehuda, Vechasidecha Ka'anan Boker. Right, the Navi's giving Tochacha, he's rebuking, he's reprimanding. You know what you people are like? You're like Anan Boker, you're like clouds in the morning, insignificant. Okay. Amalei Rav Papa Labai v'ha'amrei inshi b'miftach b'be marcha bar chamra moch sakecha v'ganei. The Gemara says, yeah, but what do you do about the following expression? Right, we have the following expression. I mean, we don't have it, but in Aramaic, this used in Bava, this used to be a popular expression, which is the following. Let's say it rains in the morning. So basically, we tell the merchants, right, those who are selling wine, you know what? Today's not going to be a good day for you. You can take your sack and use it as a pillow, go home, take a nap. Right, don't come to work today. And as Rashi explains what's going on over here, so Rashi says, because when it rains in the morning, so that means that it sounds a little bit quick, but it rains in the morning and you know that there's going to be plenty of growth out in the field, plenty of grapes that are growing, and basically the supply is going to go way up. And we know basic economics, supply goes way up, so the price is going to go down. Right? When you flood the market with any given product, so and therefore the price is going to go down. And so basically, we're basically going to tell the merchants, look, when it rains in the morning, your supply has gone up, and you're not going to be able to make any money today. So you know what? Your best strategy today is to go home and to take a nap. Okay. So, but anyway, but the point is that raining in the morning seems to be very good for the crops, and we have been arguing the last couple lines of Gemara that that's not true. So the Gemara says, "Lo kasha adekarta biiva hadekater ba'anane." So the Gemara says, basically, we're talking about the concentration of rain. If it is a high concentration of rain, so then that would be good. Low concentration of rain, so insignificant rain in the morning. Amar Rav Yehuda Tav L'Shasa de Teves Armalasa. The month of Teves, right? We're right in the middle of the winter. So if that's a widowed month, that's a good season. Widowed month meaning no rain in the month of Teves. So the Gemara says that's good. That's good. What makes that so good? So the Gemara offers a couple of explanations. Ika de Amre de lo bari tarvitza. So one possibility, says the Gemara, is that it'll be good for Torah learning. Look at Rashi, four lines down from the wide lines. Rashi says, Osa mekamash marvitza mehem Torah einam boros mimnesha adrach miyafin hein. Right? If there's no rain in the month of Teves, so the roads are still usable. The hochin hatamidim mimakom lamakom lomo Torah. And so therefore the Talmidim have an opportunity to go and go teach Torah. And anytime you have Torah being learnt in a community, it's good. Ika da Amri, back to the Gemara. Rashi goes off as another pshat, but anyway, back to the Gemara. Ika da Amri de lo shakel shud fanam. And also another reason why no rain in Teves is good is because too much rain is going to be bad. You have what's called the shidafon. Shidafon is that heavy wind. That heavy cold wind is going to be destructive for the field, but only when the field is saturated with rain. Okay. Eini v'hamer avchista tavla shasta de Teves menav lasa. So the Gemara says, a good year, if you want to forecast a good year, rains in Teves, it's going to be a really good year. So the Gemara says, lo kasha hadasa mitra mi'ikara, hadalo asa mitra mi'ikara. So the Gemara makes a very simple distinction. Look, if it's already rained in Cheshvan, so further rain in Teves is no good. If it hasn't rained a lot in Cheshvan, then rain in Teves is going to be good. The Amar of Chista. And now, Ben, we'll finish up today with this. The Gemara now is going to deal with, what if the rain is localized? Okay, so we spent our entire day today talking about rain. We spoke about Revi Rishona, Revi Shnei, Revi Shlishis, of the Yorah, of the early rains. We spoke about Malkush. We spoke about the dates. And now we're going to talk about location. Amar of Chista Geshamim Shigardu Al Mitzas Medina. The Al Mitzas Medina Leyardu Ein Behem Mishum Ve'atzar. So Rav Chista says localized rain is okay, right? Acceptable, meaning doesn't put us in the category of Atzar. So that means then on the 17th day of Mar Cheshvan, if it starts raining, but a localized rain in certain areas, not in every area, we're okay, we're in the clear. Eini, the Gemara says, is that accurate? Is that correct? The Gemara quotes a pasuk. The pasuk over here, the Navi Amos is giving tochacha. He's again rebuking, reprimanding, and he says, "You know, it's going to be bad. It's going to be so bad. It'll rain in one place, but not in another." And in the context of the Navi, that obviously is coming as a form of klala. That's no good. V'am Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Shtem leklala, and the Gemara spells it out. That's a klala. Meaning, this idea that it's raining in one location, but not in another location. So now this really challenges Rav Chista's assertion. Rav Chista said that localized rain is okay. Doesn't seem that way. Now from the Navi Namos, and not by the statement of Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, on that Pasuk Namos. Lo kasha hadasa tuva hadasa kidim ebayile. So the Gemara says, okay, we'll say like this. If the rain is localized, and it's really focused and concentrated, and in that one particular area, it's not nice rain, but it's really unpleasant, harsh rain in one localized area, that's no good. But if the rain comes down in one area, kidemi baile, as required, so that's okay. Meaning we're in the clear, we're no longer in the category of Atzar Shamayim. I'm Rav Ashi Deganami Dechsiv Timater Te Makom Matar Shmamina. In fact, if you look back in the Pasuk in Amos, the Pasuk says Timater, meaning that in one particular place, it's rain, it's too much rain in one particular place. Okay, so today, we spent our entire day today talking about rain. We talked about the when and where. Mostly the when. So when is the Yorli rains coming down? So again, we go back to today's daf. Three opinions amongst the time when the rains are when the early rains are coming down. It sounds like from the Gemara, the halacha is like Rav Yossi, which is how Rav Chista paskins, which is how the Rambam paskins. It is a little bit difficult because, as we pointed out, our petition for rain in Eretz Yisrael, not here in Chutz Laaretz, our petition for rain in Eretz Yisrael starts on the seventh day of Mar Cheshvan, which doesn't coordinate with Rav Yossi, and that is challenging. That's difficult to understand. But the Gemara paskins like Rav Yossi that the expectation of the rain comes down on the dates of 17th, 23rd of Mar Cheshvan, first day of Kislev. Okay, why do I need to know about that middle date? Gemara asked that question. Gemara gave four answers today. Why I need to know about the middle date? And finally, the Gemara talked about what if it's localized rain? What if the rain doesn't come down in every area of Eretz Yisrael? Is that considered Vatsaras HaShemayim? And depends. Meaning the Gemara says if localized rain, but good localized rain, that's fine. Localized rain, but bad localized rain, that's not good. That's not, then we're in trouble. Then we're in the category of Vatsaras HaShemayim.